This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132. This Q&A program is brought to you by the Capital Group of Companies, Capital Air, Capital Decor, and Kate Equip, for the benefit of the Ummah.
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Peace be upon you and the mercy of Allah and His blessings on this 28th day of Sha'ban 1442, corresponding to Sunday the 11th of April 2021. We commence with the Islamic economic indicators. The Zakat Nisab is 7,822 rands, the minimum mahar is 392 rands, and the mahar of Fatimi is 19,557 rands. We take this opportunity to welcome you, the esteemed listeners listening to us locally as well as globally, and indeed we are indebted to Mufti Sahib, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Sahib Hafizahullah, as well as to the directors of the various radio stations and the sound engineers. We welcome Mufti Sahib onto the program. Mufti Sahib, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
Wa Alaikum Assalam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum afizwadi. We say jazakallahu khairan to all our technicians, our brother Dawood Monley, our brother Yusuf Asmal, my brother here in our studio in Lanesia. Lucky, thank you very much.
Mufti Sahib, our very first question for today that has come in, the questioner would like to know that will it be permissible to fast tomorrow being Monday, as this person fasts every Monday and every Thursday, but keeping in mind that tomorrow is the 29th day of Shaban as well.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two ahadith come to mind. Number one is Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَنْ تَصَفَ شَعَبَانُ فَلَا تَصُومُ. When Sha'ban finishes half, then the second half you must not fast. So we will explain that just now from the 16th onwards. And the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, it's mentioned there. Another hadith mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Bulughul Maram, various compilations. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَقَدَّمُوا Soma Ramadan biyomin or biyomain, that a person should not fast before the month of Ramadan 1-2 days, and this is all authentic ahadith. However, there are three different scenarios. ABC person tomorrow Monday wants to keep a qaza fast, so that's totally permissible, there's no problem. You make the intention at night, tomorrow you are going to fast qaza, totally permissible. Second scenario will be a person who normally throughout the year that he's fasting Mondays and Thursdays, so he or she wants to fast tomorrow Monday, so that also is permissible. In this hadith in Bukhari Sharif, it is mentioned illa ayasuma, so except that person who is normally fasting those days like Monday, Thursday, they are exempted from this rule, and it will apply to the first hadith also that I mentioned. So what is the meaning of this hadith? A person says that Ramadan Mubarak is starting inshallah on Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on the sighting or no sighting of the moon, so let me start a trial, you know, just know that a nafil fast. He's not keeping a qadha fast, he's not a person who normally fasts on a Monday, Thursday, he just wants to keep a nafil voluntary fast, so for him he should not be fasting. So that is the real meaning and import of this hadith here by rahmatullah Al-Alameen Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, chapter 21 verse 107. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be the only rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy to the entire universe and creation. The master alayhi salam wants we must preserve our energy, stamina, strength for the month of Ramadan, and now we fast 1-2 days before, then we get weak and so forth. No, so if you want to keep nafil fast, then you should not be fasting tomorrow.
Mufti Sahib, how does one ensure that someone is eligible for receiving zakat?
Remember, the law in Islam is نَحْنُ نَحْكُمُ بِالزَّوَاهِرِ وَاللَّهُ مُتَوَلِّي السَّرَائِرِ. We look at the prima facie evidence and remember what is inside and all that. That Almighty Allah knows best. We do not know. So what you should ask that person, that do you have money at your home? Do you have money in your bank and so forth? Are you prepared to take an oath? The lady asks her if she has jewelry and so forth and so on. The problem today is, this morning I was busy with the emails for 2 hours or so, emails and WhatsApp and whatever you. So many people, remember, want to lead a life of luxury. They are in debts, 100,000, 500,000, 1,000,000, and they are asking that we want to collect zakat. It's totally haram for you to accept zakat. Why you don't get rid of all your TVs and videos? What you got all this internet and all this? Cell phone is not something that is a must for a Muslim person. So all these things you can get rid of. Pay your debts with that. For what you have to drive a smart car? You just need a car, basic car. So all this, they want to lead a life of luxury, and then they cannot lead that life. They go into the debt trap and then they look for zakat. You must never give zakat to such people there. And remember, once you have doubt, you must never give zakat to people. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith is all embracing for all times, all places and all circumstances. Hadith authentic in Tirmidhi Sharif, da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. Leave that which you have doubt in and opt for that in which there is no doubt. And I made the statement before and I reiterate, let me be honest about this. That is our function. We need to be honest to the Ummah and all the esteemed listeners. Majority of the organizations collecting zakat today, you must never give them zakat. They use it, you must remember, either leave it in the bank, it's collecting interest, or they're using it for their wages, or they're using it to refurbish their offices and what have you. Since when zakat money can be used for all these type of things? They look for hila upon hila, dry cleaning service, you know? They give zakat and then they will tell you that, okay, I gave it to a poor person. After 5 minutes, the poor person gave it back to me. Since when all these hilas and loopholes and skaldakhari is permissible in Islam? We must remember that a nation that played with the Sharia, the Jews, Almighty Allah told them that no fishing on the Sabbath on Saturday, and they mocked the law of Almighty Allah and they looked for loopholes. Almighty Allah said, فَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ, that Allah transformed them into monkeys, Allah forbid. So therefore we need to be very, very careful. And if you want a reference of that, you will find it in the Noble Quran, in various places where Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala transformed them. And remember that Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala speaks of the entire story in the 10th Jews, and you will find it. Was'alhum anil qaryati allati kanat hadirat al-bahr, that ask them and tell them, Ya Rasulullah, about the people who were living there by the banks of the ocean, and then what happened to those people there, how Almighty Allah transformed them and made them into monkeys and so forth. So all these things here you will find that Almighty Allah is warning us so that we don't play with the Sharia and we don't look for loopholes and so forth and so on. So what we must do is that we must always practice on Sharia and not look for loopholes. Chapter 7, Surah A'raf, and verse number 163, 164, 165, 167. So all these verses, so chapter 7 and verse number 163, 164, 165, it goes on. So Almighty Allah speaks of it. It's in the 90 Jews and in the 7th Surah, and I gave you the references, Alhamdulillah.
Mufti Sahib, which is the best place to read a person's janazah salah?
When we study the Adat Mubarakah, the normal habit of the Master, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Salatul Janazah was read outside Masjid Nabawi. When I went the first time, with Allah's grace and mercy, it was now, so it was before Ramadan, 1 week or so before Ramadan, or 10 days. And I came from Karachi, took my visa from there. My beloved parents came from South Africa. And mashallah, the last 10-12 days we were there in Medina Munawwara. So mashallah, with my broken Arabic, everything, you know. So still wish to go ask. There were many sheikhs and the crowd was very, very small that time. So alhamdulillah, you could go and kiss the Hajar al-Aswad every round and so forth there, obviously in Makkah. So if you know Masjid Nabawi, the old Masjid Nabawi, so where Babi Jibreel is, so there were 10 pillars there, which the Ottoman Empire, they had put, they would not write, they would just put Nishani signs and symbols, and that was the place where Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the glad tidings to the Ashara Mubashara, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Ali, and radiallahu anhum, that you are in Jannah, you are in paradise, and so forth. Just next to that, that was called Muswalla, the place where the Janaza Salat was read. Therefore, the Hanafi ulama say that Salatul Janaza should be read outside the mosque and outside the masjid and not inside. So right by the masjid on the side, you read it, or next to the graveyard there, you have a special place, so therefore. However, there were two Sahaba, Sahal, Suhail, radiallahu anhuma, they passed away, it was raining, and Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, performed the Salatul Janaza there inside the masjid. So the Shafi'i, rahimahullah, and Hanbalis and them, they give preference to that. So much so, if you go even today to Masjidul Aqsa, you will ask the honorable imams and the old sheikhs, in the olden days where you used to read Salatul Janaza, they will show you the place outside that you will read. So when we went to all these places there, but today, you know, the crowd is so big and so forth, so they just read the Salatul Janaza there inside the masjid and so forth. But Masjid Nabawi, if you look at it even today, where the imam stands, you must remember it's outside the masjid. Because if you come to the first surf where Mihrab Usmani is, and then the door from where the imam comes, you will see the imam stands there for janaza. All the janazas are there, and from there they are taken to Baqi. So therefore, Hanafi say, best is you read Salatul Janaza outside the masjid. The imam, the mayyid, the deceased, all are there. The people can be flowing into the masjid, that's fine. And remember, the Shafi'is, humbly say, that is better you read in the masjid. These type of discussions are of academic nature, what is best. So whether you read in a masjid, whether you read outside, the Salatul Janaza will be valid. Alhamdulillah, we should always make dua for all those who passed away with Iman and Islam. Surah 14, verse 41. Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers, the day the reckoning is established. These are wonderful du'as and supplications for us to read.
Mufti Sahib, this person has jewels or jewelry, but they've got no cash at all. So how does a person like this pay zakat?
First and foremost, we need to understand the qadiya, the masla itself, the issue at hand. First question we need to pose and ask, is there zakat on huli? Huli means on jewelry. So there is no zakat on jewelry if the lady is wearing it once, twice, three times, every second day, every month. That is the verdict of the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis. La zakata fil huli. There's no zakat on the jewelry provided that lady is using it. However, according to the Hanafis only from the four schools, remember, zakat is compulsory on the jewelry, whether it is in the safe, in the vault, or whether she's wearing it or not, so it's compulsory. And remember, you take the current market value, and then you take 2.5% for that bangles, that ring, that earring, that locket, necklace, whatever it is. So provided it is 18 karat gold and above, so remember, zakat will be compulsory according to the Hanafi scholars. And the Hanafi's dalil also, evidence is very, very strong regarding this issue. So that's one issue. Second issue, if a person has gold coins, for example, the Kruger coin and Kruger rand and what have you, so that's genuine gold. So in a case like that, remember, zakat is compulsory according to all the jurists and all the scholars. You take the current market value and pay 2.5%, not the value that you bought it for, the current market value. Third one, now the sister here, that she has gold, she has necklaces, she has bangles, she has rings, all gold and so forth, but she doesn't really have rokra. Rokra is liquid cash, you know. So she doesn't have that. So how does she pay her zakat? So my respected sister, you don't have to pay zakat always with money. You can pay zakat in cash or kind. You have so many extra clothing there. So your abayas and so forth, you can pay with that. Or for example, your shoes and all that, which are in mint condition, not rotten and broken and so forth. So you give that out. Or for example, you take one ring and you get the value of it. You have 100,000 rand worth of jewelry and you have to pay 2,500. So that ring there is equivalent to 2,500. Or that bangle there. So you give that out, finish, then your zakat is paid. So there are different ways how we can pay our zakat. Our zakat is a compulsory charity the Muslim has to pay, and majority of the Muslims pay the bulk amount during the sacred month of Ramadan, which will start few days time, inshallah. So that's very good. More and more people can benefit, and everyone should rather pay more than rather paying less. Remember, because in the past we made so many mistakes and so forth. So in zakat, remember to pay that amount that will be anfa'al il-fuqara, that is more beneficial for the poor Muslims and destitute.
Mufti Sahib, the sister wants to know, is it permissible for her to go for a scan to determine if there's any abnormalities with the baby or with the fetus?
Remember, today, with due respect to the medical fraternity, first question they'll ask you normally when you go to a clinic, when you go to a hospital, your leg stories, I see. I receive many e-messages, say, please tell us, we really love your stories. So story time. I stayed there in Newcastle for 20 years, wonderful. Now I finished my 20 years in Malaysia, all with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah. My mother-in-law was totally blind. In 2001, she passed away. Allah give them all, my mother, my father, mother-in-law, father-in-law, the entire ummah who passed away with Iman, Islam, Jannatul Firdaus. She felt very ill. And I took her here to the clinic and so forth. No medical aid, nothing. So I said, what's the procedure? Say, procedure, you must put 35,000-40,000 rand down. So I got a shock. I said, but the lady is so ill and we'll settle it. He said, no. He said, you must pay first. So imagine, that is how things work in the capitalistic society. You must remember that. So I just wanted to show you that's how things work today. So all this year, our mothers gave birth to us. Who went for scan and all that? And we normal with Allah's help and mercy. You see, today there is that panic. There is that fear factor that you must do the scan. You must do the scan. Why you don't place your trust more and more in Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala? If really there's a problem, then you go. But when there's no problem, why you want to go to the doctor and go for scan and so forth? That's my question I'm posing to you. So remember, that is because your medical aid is there, and they love the medical aid, and they're going to make you a milking cow many a time. That is the truth of the matter. So you as a Muslim lady, you the father, inshallah to be, both of you should be reading these few verses I mentioned to you. Surah, the first one, chapter 37, verse 100, just after Surah Yasin, Surah Safat. Surah chapter 37, verse 100, Rabbi habli minas salihin. Oh Allah, grant me pious children. First translation. Second translation, the dua of Nabi Ibrahim is making this dua in his old age. Rabbi habli minas salihin. Oh Allah, bless me with normal children, no abnormality, no disability, nothing of that sort. Second dua, Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam in his old age is begging, petitioning Almighty Allah. Chapter 3, Surah Al Imran, verse 38, Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. Oh beloved Allah, grant me from your side the pious and pure and chaste children. Innaka sami sami'u du'a. Verily, O Almighty Allah, you are the one who listens and you answer the du'a and you listen to us, Ya Allah, out of your grace, mercy, benevolence. You, my sister, you are worried about you might have a miscarriage. This will happen. So why you don't read chapter 13, Surah Yusuf is chapter 12. Read chapter 13, verse number 8. Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu unsa wa ma taghidul arhamu wa ma tazdad. Only Almighty Allah knows the expansion, contraction that is taking place there to the fetus in the womb of the mother. So remember, all this is the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wala. So each one of us should be reading this. And then the last one, Ramadan Mubarak is coming, Sehri time, Suhoor time, you awake. Wabil asharihum yastaghfirun. O Sa'im, O fasting person, take out 3, 4, 5 minutes daily. Astaghfirullah, 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 Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilay. What are the benefits? Chapter number 71, verses 9, 10 and 11 and so forth. Yursilis sama'a alaykum midrara wa yumdilukum bi amwali wa banin. Allah will send good rain, beneficial rain for you. Allah will increase your wealth for you. Allah will bless you with good children. Subhanallah. Allah is saying, but today we want to listen to this doctor, that professor, all that. His half aim is at your medical aid. So that is what it is today. Let us be honest. We live in a capitalistic society. People will just tell you this wrong, this wrong. So I don't advise this. Yes, if there's a problem, you must remember, then it's a different issue.
Mufti Saab, is there any dua that you can read for children with autism as well as for children that are non-verbal?
So you must remember that the children who are not speaking and so forth, always read Quran Sharif and blow on them. Read Surah Fatiha 7 times, Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, and blow on your wonderful flower, your son, your daughter. Second one, read chapter 20, Surah Taha, verses 25, 26, 27, 28. You see, before I start my lessons, tafsir and so forth, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Ya Allah, Rabbi shrah li sadri, you open our hearts and bosoms, Ya Allah. Wa yassir li amri, make our task easy, Ya Allah. Wa hlul uqdatan min lisani, remove the knots in my tongue, Ya Allah. Yafqahu qawli, the people, the masses can understand my speech. So read that, blow on that wonderful baby, and for autism and all these challenges, then read Surah 46, Surah Ahqaf, verse 15, 1-5. Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. O Almighty Allah, bring about reform, piety, goodness in my children. You, O mother, you must be the one devoted, dedicated. You, the father, you must be helping. Don't just say the child is like this and that. Nay, we know of examples in our family and others. How many a child, there were so many problems, but the mother and the father, mashallah, they made the effort, they cried to Allah, they gave charity. Today, mashallah, the child is absolutely normal, married and so forth, and maybe children also, Allah alone knows. So all these type of things are happening. We see with our own eyes.
Mufti Sahib, what du'as can one read to get rid of neighbors that are very, very noisy, Mufti Sahib?
Yes, not only they at home, sometimes they're very noisy at work also. You must remember this type of things. So we give you one Quranic du'a, we give you one Quranic and one du'a from the Hadith Sharif. For both you can read it, whether it is in your residential area, your home, or your neighbors, or at work and so forth. So number one, chapter 29. Verse 30, Rabbin surni ala al-qawm al-mufsidin. Who read this dua? Nabi Lut alayhi salatu salam, a mighty messenger of Almighty Allah, his honorable name mentioned 27 times in a noble Quran. He petitioned Almighty Allah against the gay brigade. Ya Allah, you assist me against these troublemakers and mischief makers. So read that abundantly. These are simple duas. Memorize memorize them, read them, go into sajda and read them as well whilst you're reading salat. Chapter 29, verse 30. Second one, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a dua. When we have bad neighbors, in Arabic we have a saying, wonderful sayings. Sal anil jar qabla dar. You are moving to a certain area, so ask the people, who's the neighbor, who's this. So first ask about the neighbors, then you purchase the house or move in that house on rental. Because if you have bad neighbors, then big every day there'll be fight. One day I was in South America, and you know, we were reading Taraweeh and so forth. So one brother came to me, and he told me that my neighbors, they troubling us, the music. So I told them, you know what, go say this, and so forth. So next day he came, he was an India brother. He said, "Maine to inko sab kuch bata diya. I gave them all the advice you gave. You know what they did?" I said, "What?" He said, "He put the music even louder." So you see, so sometimes you get real terrible people who want to cause deliberately harm. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-jari su. Ya Allah, you protect us from the evil neighbor. Min al-jari su. So the evil neighbor, Ya Allah, fi daril muqama, in the place of residence. So wherever we are, or you can aid fi daril muqamati wal amal, and the place where we are working and so forth. So good neighbors, great bounty of Allah. You don't know the dua, just read in English or any language. Ya Allah, protect us from evil neighbors. His authentic hadith mentioned in Sunan Nasai. So beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala for protection from such people.
Mufti Sahib, is it permissible to discharge the fidya before Ramadan commences?
Not permissible. Remember that fidya, first of all, we need to define what is fidya. Almighty Allah speaks of it in Surah chapter 2, verse number 184. So Almighty Allah states, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ. So fidya, the compensation, is only applicable to two categories of people. Number one is this, that a person is so old, he doesn't have energy, strength, he can't even pick up a teaspoon basically. So there's no question of him or her fasting. So you, the family, so you take from their money and you pay the fidya, or you, the sons, daughters, you pay on their behalf, it's not a big deal. So in a case like that, when Ramadan's fast starts, then for example, Wednesday, Thursday, whenever this week, so you pay the 900 rand, 30 rand per fast, $2 per fast, and that money must be given to poor Muslims only who are entitled to receive zakat. And if you round it off at 1,000 rand South African currency, that will be meritorious and that will be desirable, because Quran is telling you, فَمَن تَتَوَّعَ فَهُوَ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ, and you pay more, so it's better for you also. And remember, the second category will be al-marizu daim. Those people, the medical fraternity, the doctors, physicians, have told the person, according to their prognosis, this person here is perpetually ill and chronically ill. The chances of him or her recovering from this illness, sickness, is hardly possible according to them, and so forth. So that person has to take this medication, that medication, and so forth. Then for that person there. However, you, my sister, you are pregnant. My sister, you are breastfeeding. For you, the fidya laws don't apply. Qadha is compulsory. If you are not fasting, you must remember during your pregnancy, breastfeeding. For you, the man, you are now traveling, you are ill, qadha is compulsory. So in those cases there, remember, fidya and compensation is not applicable. Only these two categories. And I take my uncle, is 90 years old Islamically, and 80 years plus he's fasting. So you get people who are old, but you must remember that yet they are fasting, alhamdulillah. So we make dua for them. Almighty Allah give them siha and afia, my Bamli kaka, Ibrahim kaka. So in that way, they don't mean every person like our people. They say, Mufti sahab, can I collect zakat money because I'm a pensioner? So many people are pensioners, but they got, you must remember, so much money at home or in the bank, or they got jewelry. So it's haram for you to accept. You must remember zakat. So it doesn't mean any person says, I'm 80, 90 years old, I must just pay fidya. No. You can go short job, you can do everything, you got the strength, you must fast also. So if you can't fast, and because you are so weak and so forth, then it's a different issue.
Mufti Saab, is it permissible for one to receive interest money to pay their fines?
Yes, 100%. You must remember, they don't mean you become reckless now. They say, I will keep on pressing 180, 200 and just go to ABC and collect interest and so forth and so on. So that's not permissible. So you must remember that really it was not your fault or something. And then now you picked up a ticket and what have you, and now somebody gave you interest money, you paid the fine, so that is permissible, no problem with that. You don't have to give halal money for your taxes and fines and customs and duty and the rates and what have you, but for your rental, your water lights, all that, and paying the lawyers for transfer and the bank charges, all that, you have to pay with halal money. Remember, you can't be using interest money in these cases I just mentioned now.
We say Jazakallah khairan to Mufti Saab. That brings us to the end of the first 30 minutes of this afternoon's program. Inshallah, we continue after the break.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.